Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth.
Hit it.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And I'm JT Timmons, and that's Patrick.
And that's Jingles.
Jingles?
Still has his sword. Okay. He's still here.
Still armed.
Still armed. Still just as horrifying forever and always. But yeah, welcome back, y'all. We have a nice offering for you from Fae Daddy, but not on the Fae, unfortunately. Well, you never know. It's actually, it's ghost
you
mail.
You can tell. It could be anything.
Yeah. It's
could
ghost mail.
Could be anything. Ghost mail.
Yes. So maybe there will be a Fae Daddy offering, but Fae Daddy is offering you some ghost mail today. But before we get into all of that, to start us off, we have a few announcements. First, when January rolls around after all of the holiday seasons and things like that, we are going to start your year out with a really great series. It's going to be a three-part series breaking down The Conjuring House.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ah, ha, ha. Yeah, and if you haven't caught on yet, we're going there in the dead of winter. And I've been, JT and I have been reading Andrea Perrin's book about her family's experiences in the house. And the more and more we read it, the more concerned I get about how we're going to fare in this house.
There's some interesting things.
There are some very interesting things and things that were not ever, like, certainly not wide release knowledge. Like, there's a whole different tract of phenomena happening that you rarely hear about or see. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And if the ghosts don't kill us, the weather just might.
There's a good chance.
Because there is some really intense details about how the snow just wants to kill you in Rhode Island.
It's, well, all of New England, really. New England folk.
I'm just
how do you survive? Why do you stay?
Right. I'm just a wee southerner down here.
We are thin skinned.
I am thin skinned. And also, Savannah got like, what, 3 inches of snow one time, and we all just lost our minds.
We lost our minds. We closed things down. Everything shut down.
7 people died. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
It was madness.
So we'll see what happens. But, but if you want to see us brave through the New England winter and through the demons of the Conjuring House, consider becoming a parajunkie, because they are going to get like an inside, in-depth experience with us, because we're going to be live streaming from the house specifically for parajunkies. So it's going to feel like you are also staying in the Conjuring House, but from the safety and warmth of your own home. Yes. So,
yeah, do we ever get an answer as to how it's heated?
Is it
a space heating situation? Do we need to bring our own space heaters?
They say bring blankets.
Concerning. Like, did they never put insulation into the house?
Because I don't know.
Because in the 60s, when the Perrin family moved in, they made sure to specify that there was no insulation in that house. So.
And, you know, for historical purposes, I could see them not wanting to.
Right.
But for comfort purposes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are no beds.
If I'm going to be eaten by a demon, I want to be comfortable.
Right. Yeah. And so, well, the house might, even if it is heated, the house might just be freezing cold because of the ghosts.
That's true.
They're like, suck the heat out of these people. Exactly. So.
It's true. Yeah. Wanderlust Magic said, because we like the struggle of the Nor'easter. That is why she stays
the
there.
The Nor'easter.
Yes. And Arcadia is here. What's up, Arcadia?
You need to get Bill Koopa in here.
Yeah, Bill.
Bill Koopa.
But look where he moved.
Tell stories of LOL. Yeah, no, he left, but, you know, after a full career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arcadia said, yeah, we act crazy with minimal snow down here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lose our minds.
That's for damn sure.
That's true. And so before we get into the rest of the ghost mail and whatnot, one last thing. We do want to thank a couple new para junkies. So we want to thank Daheat.
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 Honestly, we're going to be tanking Daheat up in...
up in Rhode Island.
We need Daheat.
Daheat. We also want to thank Desiree, Joe Foe, Shayna, and Allison Arnold. Thank you guys so much for joining us over on the Parajunkie side.
Welcome aboard
to the Parajunkie realm.
Yes.
And so with that, enough blabbering. Let's get on to the ghost mail, what you're all here to hear.
I'm just real fast. I want to thank our editor, Debria, because I don't know who's watching this on YouTube, but she has been putting her foot in these videos lately. She sits here for hours on end. Just
it is a thankless task.
It is
very true, and she's so funny. And so if y'all want to, you know, go check out what she's got going on YouTube, you know, if you only listen, you know, go watch a couple episodes. We have like 5 million at this point, so yeah,
exactly.
I think the last 50 to 60 are the ones that she's been cutting, and she's just unbelievable. So, like, you know, shout out to her.
And if you're all scratching your heads wondering what JT means by putting her foot in it, no, she is not editing with her foot. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
She might.
You never
We're
know.
We're not watching her.
But that's actually a saying that we picked up on when JT and I went to New Orleans a couple years ago, and we did a voodoo tour with this very eccentric man named Roby. Shout out to Roby. I highly doubt he listens to this, but well, he might actually.
He might. This is Roby's vibe.
Well, shout out to Roby in New Orleans, who does the voodoo tour, if you're listening. But within 2 minutes of him meeting us, he goes, "Where are you from?" And we're like, "Georgia." And he goes, "Y'all got good fried chicken down there. They put their foot into that." Mm-hmm. And we're like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, they put their foot in it." And he's like, "They just be, you know, doing it down there." And we're like, I like that.
That's a good phrase.
Yeah. I'm going to use that now. So anytime something's exceptional,
heck yeah,
They put their foot in it.
So,
which sounds like something went wrong.
Right.
You know, you really put your foot in it this time. But I see where it's going.
No, they put everything they got.
It's a compliment is what we're trying to say.
Yes. All righty.
That's true.
So on to the ghost mail now. All righty. So this one comes from Kelly. "Hey, I have been listening to your podcast for a while now. Found y'all via TikTok." Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making the connection away from the TikToks, because you get so much more than just our 60 seconds of small cuts. So definitely. Thank you very much. Well, anyway, so was like, "Oh, look, that's my hometown," sort of. I was born and raised across the river in Jasper County, South Carolina.
Hey.
Nice. I lived on family property until I went to college at Western Carolina University in Wee, North Carolina. I do have several ghost stories from my time there, and it would be a great university to cover in haunted college episodes. I digress. So, more back to my story. The house I spent the first 8 years of my life living in was an old house that was built, I believe, in the 1940s. Was built to house workers that work for either the railroad or Argent Lumber, or maybe both, can't remember. When the company no longer had us for them, my family member bought several houses and buildings and moved them to our property. The house I lived in was everyone in my family's family starter home. People either lived there after moving to South Carolina or after they got married. My parents were there, were the latter. We were only the second family with children ever to live in the house. I believe this to be a very important fact. So the house was originally four rooms, but two more rooms were added on. So a rectangular two by three room to have a kitchen and another bedroom. For me, I have two memories I recall from my childhood that I want to share from living in the old house. I have many other stories about my experiences in the house after we moved out. First one, me and my younger brother shared the middle room, kitchen on side and living room on the other. I don't remember when it started or when it ended. I just remember seeing scary faces in the window at night. My God, nobody wants to see a scary face in the window. No. That is not the place you want a scary face.
You do until it happens. And then you're like, oh no, I didn't want this.
I didn't ask for this.
I need to experience it, so.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. Yes, anyways.
Babadook me up.
Babadook you up.
Hell yeah.
We love the Babadook. He's a gay icon.
Love it.
Anyways, we had a big window with curtains and the security yard light was right outside. I would see these scary shadow faces, definitely the eyes, mouth, and something I would call horns. Even worse. I say horns because at the time we had goats and that is what my brain decided they look like.
Fair enough.
To this day, I don't sleep with windows uncovered or mirrors in my bedroom due to these faces. My second experience was I was a little bit older, up late watching I Love Lucy, and everybody was asleep, still sharing a room with my little brother. I felt as someone had placed their hand on my left shoulder. I looked around expecting to find my mom getting on me for staying up late. There was no one behind me. My little brother still sound asleep, so I got up and ran and got in bed with my mom. My mom was sharing these experiences with my grandmother, and she asked my mom why my mom, told me about her experiences because that is what had me freaking out. My mom didn't really even remember her experiences from living in the house until my grandmother said something and had not shared that with me. Most of my family didn't believe it because so many others had lived in that house. But my grandparents with my mom and aunt, and then my mom with me and my brother, have been the only ones with children to ever live on that in that house since being moved to our property. One other story about the old house. My mother, as long as I remember, has always slept with the TV on, and we did the same. When I was a teenager, no longer living in the old house, I asked my mother about why she always slept with the TV on. She told me that when my father and her were newly married before I came along, she and my dad were living in an old house. She was awoken in the middle of the night and that had no lights on, pitch black. She swears she saw an African-American man wearing overalls with a lantern in his hand. He was so big, he filled up the doorway. She freaked out, woke my dad up, and there was no one in the house. So to this day, she still sleeps with the TV on for light and will not sleep when it is completely dark. I have several more ghost stories, including my own Hat Man ghost that happened to wear a... my own man ghost that happened to wear a hat. Hat Man? Hope this made sense. If you would like to hear more, please let me know. I also do believe I am somewhat sensitive to the other side. I lost some as I got older. Side note, the old house is no longer standing, had been torn down. Thank you for your time, Kelly. Well, thank you, Kelly. You know, it's a lot of people don't understand that. It's like when you grow up in a haunted house, not every experience is super intense or drawn out. Sometimes it is just simply.
There's far more casual hauntings in the world than there are anything else. So casual, in fact, that many people don't even realize that there is haunting going on.
Exactly.
You know, just simple things. Oh, that door is open. You know, I guess I forgot to. Yeah, you know,
right.
Or the dog must have pulled this out. You know, oh, what's that doing on the floor? Oh, what's this? So many things are easily overlooked because they fit into a narrative that we can accept quickly and move on.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is we all might be haunted to differing degrees, and it's not all going to be, you know, the bloody eyeless woman's coming down from the ceiling screaming.
Did that happen to you?
No comment.
I think the scariest thing, though, is I can't – you know, I would never feel comfortable sleeping with the windows without curtains again either if I saw scary faces with horns staring back at me.
Well, I lived many years needing glasses but not having glasses when I was very young. And so when I looked out the window, I'd always see what looked like little lumps, like what would appear like somebody's head, you know, looking over the edge or sneaking in from the side because, you know, my astigmatism was bad. My eyesight was bad. But I'd look and I think I see something in the window. And it was especially bad when we were like on the fourth floor of an apartment building. I'm looking out the window and it looks like somebody's going. So
it's really just the gnomes without hats.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. But
dwarves without hats.
That's what it was. Dwarves. Excuse me. Dwarves. I apologize to the dwarves. There's a difference.
Yes. Yes. Gnomes are notably smaller. Therefore, they can wear their hats. And I wouldn't notice them because they're tiny.
Yes, but dwarves without hats. That's when things get rough.
That's where we draw the line.
But, you know, it's probably a lot of the activity that you're experiencing experienced probably got amplified when the house was taken from its original place.
That stirred up a lot.
Yeah, that's really common to hear when people. Basically, it's not as common for people to pick up a house and move it, but it happens. Sure. And anytime people are doing like major renovations or doing anything to their house that's changing the energy, the flow of the house, it's really common for people to experience a heighten of paranormal activity in their home, especially if it was already haunted to begin with.
And even further is the idea that a lot of land carries with it spirits. Spirits are just kind of on the land, you know, homeless ghosts just, you know, milling about. And if suddenly a dwelling just appeared one day, you know, that kind of draw would probably be irresistible. Because like if you're building a house, then it's like piece by piece, it's coming together. And a spirit could be interested in that process, but by the time the house is built, they may have, you know, exercised all their energy in, you know, the construction era. But if you just drop a house, like a mobile home, right on a spot and the land is haunted, ghost is like, oh, shelter. I'm going in.
That's where I'm supposed to be.
That's it. Thank you for the house.
Thank you for my house. Thank you. But yeah, thank you, Kelly, for sending that in.
And absolutely send more stories. I love that people always ask us.
Right.
If you'd like to hear. We always want to hear more.
Yes, we always want more ghost stories. We have an insatiable desire for ghost stories.
And it creates an amazing map of ghosts, you know, because the more stories that we collect from different sources, the more stories that we have that are independent and individual, the more we're able to say, wow, this is a very common trend in ghosting. This is a very common trend in haunting. Lots of people are having this same experience. Plus, there are listeners out there who are probably sitting on ghost stories because they don't want to share it because it just seems so far out there or so unrelatable. The more stories we get, the more comfortable they may feel in sharing their experiences and finding answers.
Or feeling that their experience wasn't as insane as they might think, you know?
Validating their experience.
Exactly.
Straight up.
So this next story, I don't think this person wanted their name used, but the subject was titled Vietnam War Soldier Ghost Encounter.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Okay, so to Haunted City Podcast. Hi, guys. I'm a recent follower, and I have a story I think may be interesting. I've always been quite an adventurous person and extremely passionate about wildlife conservation and indigenous communities. So about a year ago, I decided to travel to Cambodia for a volunteer program.
Okay.
I think we've had people have experiences that have sent in from Cambodia. Yeah, the little boy.
The little boy.
So interesting. I wonder if it might have been a similar program. You never know. But anyways, to Cambodia for a volunteer program. I had many worries and had to plan a lot in advance, especially since I was a young girl traveling alone. But I didn't let that put me off. I was confident that the place I was volunteering at was safe and ethical, and it was extremely so. The place was an animal rehabilitation facility out in the Cambodian wilderness. That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very
cool. Near the Vietnam border. And it was a place that had very close ties to the indigenous community that lives nearby. So much so that most of the workers were from that community. I always knew that the people were very respectful and also very cautious. They had many beliefs about spirits, but since I'm not overly religious, I simply respected their belief and moved on with my day. I never really put much thought into what their beliefs were or how they could manifest. Anyway, they did multiple animal sacrifices on site. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yep. And I took part in many ceremonies blessing the land. They always seemed very cautious about carrying out these ceremonies correctly. I'm sure they do, because if you make one misstep, then bad things happen. So, and that's kind of a common thread in a lot of ritualistic type practices. But
especially blood magic.
Exactly. Since I visited during a low period, there weren't many people at the site. In fact, at one point, I was the only volunteer there. And at night, when the rest of the staff left to go home, only the main tour guide and I were left on site, which, may I add, was in the middle of nowhere, right in the jungle. They had put me up in a small two-story cabin and the door to my room only accessible from a flight of stairs that led up the outside of the building, and it faced the open forest. The guide was further away in the staff section, right on the other side of the site, so I was practically all alone. The first few nights were fine, apart from the relentless animal sounds that were coming from inside and outside of my room. But then on the fourth night, I experienced something odd. I was laying in bed, trying to will myself to sleep. The noise was especially loud that night, animals scurrying the usual. But then I heard something different. It was footsteps.
Ooh.
And they were human footsteps. Ooh. Wide and full of inconsistencies. A few steps were made, then a shuffle, a pause, then more footsteps. And it was as if it was circling the downstairs outdoor area. Mm. That's horrifying. Mm-hmm. I was frozen in my bed. I barely wanted to breathe in case it alerted it. Now, I never have been overly into ghost stories up until then. In fact, the thought never crossed my mind. In that moment, I thought it was a trespasser or something else, but not a ghost. Eventually, I fell asleep, woke up, and on the way to the bathroom, which was an outhouse further in the forest, I checked out the area. There was nothing. So I brought it up with the tour guide, and he said so nonchalantly, "Oh, it was the ghost." I was so taken aback. I didn't know what to think. During the day, I asked some of the indigenous folks about it, asking another to translate. The lady told me the ghost only comes at night, and when there aren't many people in the site, she looked terrified as she spoke. She said one time she was trapped here for the night because of a storm. She had to take her baby and stay in one of the cabins, and lo and behold, she heard the same footsteps. They seemed to be wearing military boots, as the ones I heard also sounded that way. I asked, "Why boots? Everyone here either wore sandals or just had bare feet." She replied that this site was built on top of an area that was not only bombed heavily during the Vietnam War, but there were also trenches here. In fact, by the entrance, you could still see the shapes of the trenches and burrows.
Wow.
She carried on to say once the footsteps got close to her door, her baby started screaming and doors suddenly started shaking. So later that evening, I proceeded to my bed. I tried not to think about the story, hoped that it would do no harm if it did come again. I made sure to bolt my door shut and get an early night, but before I could sleep, I heard it again. Mm. The dragging of its feet, the heavy footsteps stopping and starting, and this time I was sure I could hear some sort of rustling from fabric. Its clothes, perhaps? Once again, I held my breath and waited for it to go, but this time the footsteps grew more frantic. I heard the window shutters of the dorms bellow shaking so hard that they could have been pulled off their hinges.
Mm.
The doors to the dorms below swung open and the footsteps could now be heard directly below me. It was in the dorms. I was shaking at this point, but somehow I wasn't scared. For some reason, I felt that it knew I was there, but it did nothing.
I feel like we're reading a scary stories to tell after dark.
Yeah, I know. Right? It's like we just need a campfire right in the middle here.
I know. Seriously.
It's good.
In fact, the footfall and the rattling of the doors went on for hours, so much so that I was just getting frustrated at this point. I was so tired, and I remember thinking, just shut up. And then, funnily enough, it all went quiet. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's just to be like, shut up. About half an hour later, I desperately needed to pee, but the only way to the toilet was to leave my room and go into the dark forest to the outhouse. I was so conflicted. A part of me thought I should just pee in a bucket or my water bottle, but I don't know. I wasn't thinking clearly, I guess. So I decided to go outside. I remember taking my torch and shaking as I went down the stairs leading outside. And when I walked past the downstairs dorms, the ones that the sounds had been coming from, all the doors and windows were wide open. They'd previously been locked down tight. I shined my light inside, but there was just darkness filling the room. I decided not to go any closer. If something was there, I'd rather not see it. And so I went to bed, woke up again in the morning, and found out a bunch of the staff hadn't come in. Apparently, they were too scared. They'd heard the story from the lady I spoke to and refused to work again until the land had been blessed. They did the ceremony, the usual animal sacrifice, and a prayer. And I never heard the footsteps again. But who knows, maybe it'll come back. It had before. Though the most I take from this is that in that moment with the thing, I didn't feel intense fear. I just knew I wouldn't be harmed. I think whatever it was, its priorities were elsewhere. Yeah. It had no time to waste on me, I guess. Thankfully, many thanks, a podcast listener.
Aw.
Well, thank you very much for sending in that story. That was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yo. Also, you are a very talented writer.
I was gonna say, that's so visual. You know, everything. Seriously. Yeah, played out in my brain like a movie. I could see it very clearly.
Exactly.
They need to write something.
Yeah.
Like a book.
Exactly. Yeah. And also a cool job. I mean, who gets to say that they live in the jungle practically? Right. I mean, that's
with a wildlife refuge. That's exactly. Pretty cool.
You write a book, we'll plug it on the podcast.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. With the ghostly encounter though, I mean, at first I was like, oh, that sounds kind of like a residual haunting, because it's really common for people to hear footsteps and no one's there, things like that. But where it changed for me was when you said, first off, that the doors and the windows were shaking violently and that they were open.
That they were opening, yeah.
Because that takes it from a residual haunting a lot of times into a more intelligent haunting.
Well, there's a purpose, because even if it's a residual, the residual doesn't make sense because the buildings weren't there.
Exactly.
You know, it's encountering something that wasn't there, which means that the spirit itself, which if it were a soldier, is probably doing recon, is trying to figure out what's in the building, looking for threat, looking for the enemy or enemy combatants. So, yeah, that's interesting.
It is. It's super interesting. And fascinating, too, that you know, the fact that you could still see remnants of the war that happened, because it's quite possible that this person died in that spot.
The bombings.
Exactly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there's those remnants that remind the entity of where they came from to begin with. And so.
So this person mentioned the footsteps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, in a residual haunting, I guess my question is, in a residual haunting, are those footsteps going to be the same every single night, or would they be just completely, you know, sporadic no matter what?
So that's an interesting, you could only have in residual, you can only have what had happened. And, but because people walk in all kinds of patterns and do all kinds of things. Night to night, it could be a different moment that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Thereby, the pattern of the walking or the pattern of the things can change. The one big difference is if you're inside a building with a wooden floor, if it was built after the person, the ghost had died, the sounds you should hear should not be hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be that. They should be the environment replicating the sound from when it was grass. Like if you've ever been in a house and you heard like wet footprints that sounded like it was on ground, it's because the house wasn't there when the spirit that is residually there. But when you hear it on the tile of your floor, that means it either the spirit died in the house as it is now, or it's an intelligent spirit. It's a spirit that is actively interacting with the building, like opening the doors.
Right.
Opening doors generally would only work in a residual if the doors were there at the time of death.
Right.
You know, that's when a door would open. But no, this does not sound like that. This has a lot of the earmarks of a spirit with a purpose, a mission. Mm-hmm. Soldiers oftentimes, soldier ghosts, battlefield ghosts, oftentimes die with a mission in their head. And they oftentimes are trapped in a loop of carrying out the mission, which seems residual because they are trapped in a loop, as it were. But they are actively doing things. So they can really like rifle through your stuff. They can, you know, open doors. They can open cabinets. They can be looking for things. And that, you know, and that's why ghost theory is so hard, is because there are so many aspects. So nuanced. There's a poltergeist versus residual versus intelligent versus demonic versus, and it all boils down to this kind of sensation of, we're going to put as much of the evidence as we can into, you know, the bucket that makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, footfalls could be residual or, you know, intelligent, but they're maneuvering through a building that wasn't there.
Right.
That doesn't sound residual. It doesn't make sense that there would be a residual haunting in a building that wasn't there. It's interesting.
It is. And it also aids to the side of it being an intelligent haunting as well, because it went away after this ceremony. Residual hauntings don't behave in that way because they're all they really are is just an impression.
They're recordings.
Exactly. And so that is very clear that there had to be at least some intelligence behind it. But the biggest thing when you have a paranormal encounter is, what is your gut feeling?
Right. Absolutely. You know? Yes.
The fact that you were jarred but you weren't afraid means that it was not a negative entity. So, which is good, you know.
Or its purpose wasn't focused at you.
Exactly.
You know, because sometimes you can sense it. Like, it's looking for me versus it's looking for something.
Right.
And that doesn't make it less scary, actually, to be honest. You know, just
looking for something.
Just having something present is scary enough. But the fact that you could find comfort in an instant like that does suggest that it you're not involved in this scenario.
Exactly. Oh, so, yes. So thank you, listener, for sending that in.
Thank you so much. And in true fashion, we have room for one more.
Room. There's always room for more.
That story is probably one of my favorite horror stories. Room for One More is it's a classic.
Yes.
It's a classic.
Or you can take it in the Haunted Mansion route like we just did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wanderlust Magic said that we should visit the Rev in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. It's an old Revolutionary War cemetery, and it's got a very heavy energy over the whole place.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I believe it.
That's not actually too far from the Conjuring House.
Oh.
I think.
Madison's like,
let's do it.
Well, there's so many places not far from the Conjuring House.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes. JT and I are going for a couple days on the front end and on the back end to New York when we're going to the Conjuring House. And so I'm taking him to a lot of haunted locations. Boom. And so New York, Greenwich Village.
Yeah. We'll be
incredibly
posting
them
on Patreon too.
Yes.
I'll be taking photos and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So anyways, so for our last one, this one, they sent in this ghost mail because they had sent us a message on TikTok saying that their mom had bought a funeral home. And so this,
like you do.
Yeah. So this is basically the experience that happened in the funeral home, and it has photos. So,
photos.
Yes. So, well, my mother got the funeral home about 8 years ago, and the people who owned it before us told us stories about the room I stay in, that their sister got locked in that room, and there's no lock on the door.
Oh, boy.
I never stayed in the room until I moved back in with my mother, but I always loved working nights, and my mom got cameras outside and inside. And at night, I left work early. I had my door locked, and my cat was caught four times looking at something, not sure exactly what, but my room smelled like someone was smoking a cigar heavily. I had to air my room out, and the camera I had in my room was recording 24/7. Well, that night it didn't record. It just took four pictures. And above my room is another room, and you can hear someone walking in that room. What?
The photo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Holy, he jumped ahead.
Holy okay.
crap. Well, I'm pulling it up for the live stream and geez. Ugh.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along. Yes. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Apparently, it's really good.
What in the hell?
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Nope. All right. So it took four pictures, and above my room is another
room.
This is the
room. Man who wants to see something outside of his window?
Yes.
Wait. You know what? If it looks like that, no.
Okay, well, we have to get to it. Give me a second. All right. So, and above my room is another room, and you can hear someone walking in that room, but no one's upstairs. And I've never had problems sleeping. And one night I had a dream I couldn't breathe. So woke up gasping for air, and my sister's daughter that wasn't at the house told my sister, Bubba, aka me, can't breathe, and was so worried about me not being able to breathe, she told her she was just overreacting. I caught something looking into my room that night.
Yes, you did.
So I checked all the cameras to see if someone was up, but no one was. I have even put a camera on the fireplace to see what I can get. And around 2 a.m., you can see orbs go from the kitchen through the dining room to the living room.
Orbs is the least concerning. She has to worry about.
Okay, so
here we go.
Here's one photo. Here's there the cat is. Staring.
There it is, Pear Junkie.
Cat has something to look at. Cat is intrigued by whatever it is.
Nope.
Is oh
that's why I freaked out.
Oh no.
Oh why?
And it's peaking.
It's peaking.
Oh,
I don't know why I'm so into it. It's great. I don't know. I love it.
Oh my god.
Is this the next short film we make? I'm inspired. Maybe. I'm inspired, y'all.
That is not an orb. That is the reflection of an eye.
Oh my god. That's horrifying. This is why you don't move into funeral homes. You let them have their place. Ooh. Ooh. I got chills. I got goosebumps. Okay, anyways. So for those of you who can't see the photo, first off, go to YouTube and don't do it at 3 a.m. because I know some of y'all listen to this in the middle of the night. Don't do it if it's the middle of the night. But go to YouTube and look at this section because, my God, it's a security camera image where basically it's the room facing the door. Yeah. And the door is just barely cracked open. And there is this horrifying, what is that, night experiment or whatever?
The Russian sleep experiment.
That's what it looks like.
That's the vibe.
It looks like the Russian sleep experiment. Oh, my God.
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, my God.
It is intense.
Pair of junkies are freaking out right now.
And here's a photo of
Elle said, holy cow.
The funeral home.
Lauren said, the scream I just scrumped.
The scream I'm scrumping inside.
Ashley Warner, so oh hell no.
That's also very valid.
Everyone's scrumping.
We're scrumping.
It's fantastic.
Lauren hates peekers.
I hate peekers. Don't peek.
Don't peek. No one likes a lurker. Don't lurk.
Oh my Lord. All right, hold on. I'm going to go ahead and put it back. I'm going to put the photo back for the pair of junkies. This is
yeah, it definitely looks inhuman.
It looks inhuman.
It is not pleasant at all.
Either that or a decaying body where it's like lost all of its meat and it's just the skin on the bones.
But it's got enough of a reflective eye to catch the IR and reflect it back. Which is not really a feature of the human eye.
No. Uh-uh. Why you be peeking, bro? Oh, my God. That poor... My question...
The cat was like, hey, you see this? Hey, anybody see this? Anyone?
Literally.
Anybody?
It's like, hello?
I don't want to be all cat-like or anything, but
you know,
meow.
Meow. That's...
Wait. Hiss, I say. Hiss.
My God, that is
wow.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Very. How you continued sleeping in this room beyond me, because boy, would I be up and out of there. I'd be like, that is enough for me to say peace on out.
No.
I don't even know what to make of that. This is the sign for the funeral home, but Nyberg something funeral home.
Jeez.
Wow.
That's a big old bucket of nope.
And the fact, too, that they heard footsteps above them, where it was like,
and
making my way downtown.
It brings
peeking
up, like,
in.
You start to get into the varieties of types of entities that gather around and what a funeral home represents to a variety of entities, because this kind of looks like a textbook ghoul.
Yeah.
And ghouls go where bodies are kept. Because
it'd be body snatching.
Because ghouls eat bodies versus vampires who want the blood. The ghouls want the bones. So if you ever wondered what's the difference between a vampire and a ghoul.
Yeah.
Ghouls are more interested in, they're kind of scavengery. They're not, they generally don't attack living things. They want to eat the dead.
He's like, you got bones, bro?
Yeah, he got bones. That's why vampires and ghouls actually complement each other well. The vampire, you know, drains it of the blood, and then the ghouls eat the bones, and then...
Yeah, Bone Daddy over here.
Boom, boom.
What's that movie where it's like, Bone Daddy? Oh, it's Nightmare Before Christmas. It's like, not as pleasant as Nightmare Before Christmas. This is just nightmare on nightmare.
Nightmare any night of the year.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. It does
feel
very...
It's a very compelling image, and... If you have more images or more stories...
In your funeral home.
Funeral home... Please share them. And if this funeral home is still in your family, we might like to come out and do an investigation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
So I just started a poll because I guess I can do that now on YouTube. And I was like, what do y'all think about the photo? Yes, no, or hell no. And it's unanimous.
It is a unanimous.
Hell, the winner is hell nah. No.
Hell nah.
You don't even give it an O.
Yeah, it's
right. Hell nah.
Oh, hell no.
That was great.
I am so glad that you sent that photo in, because yes. That is...
And what
is
a great punch ending for our episode. Because now I'm going to need lots of comfort and soothing.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's what
a cookie.
You want. A cookie is...
Poor Megan. Mm-hmm. Megan's gonna have to tend to him hand and foot.
Make me some cookies.
Make me a cookie, please. I've been scared by the ghouls.
I need to replace my missing chunks of soul with chocolate chips.
Well, yeah, thank you for that bit of nightmare fuel for all of us. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you made it out of there alive, so that's good. So.
Tis good.
You know?
Tis good.
Unless it's the ghoul that's sending us the photo.
Please come to the house and investigate.
I have chocolate chips for you, Chris.
What? Let's go.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. If you have some ghost mail you would like to send us, ghost stories, if you have photos, send it on in.
Please do.
So we love seeing them. And you can send that to ghost.
That might be a strong statement.
I love seeing them. Chris is.
We regret it.
Afterwards.
A little bit.
But that's okay.
We do love having them, but we're scarred.
But it's okay.
We are scarred.
But yeah, send it to ghostmail at hauntedcitypodcast.com. And if you have photos, it might also be featured on a Ghost Caught on Camera episode. You never know.
Absolutely.
But anywho, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.